keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Yes, welcome on, welcome all. This is Queering the Air. My name is Madison Moffat, and my pronouns are she and her. And I shall have my wonderful co-presenter and then my guest introduce themselves in the same manner.
I refuse to do it the exact way that you did it,
do
Madison.
It exactly but, as I say. Exactly as I say.
Fight me. I'm Atlas. You've heard me on your airways for quite a few months now.
Yes.
I use he, she, and they pronouns, so you can't get it wrong when you're talking about me. and I'm going to be the annoying little co-host today.
Not again.
Always.
And we have our lovely special guest,
Roland Thompson. Oh, I've got to get the M right. The Thompson.
Thompson.
Yes, yes. And I'm he, him.
Yeah.
And what else do I need to know? Do, say.
Have you said your pronouns? He, him?
Yes, I have, yes.
Yes, have you said your name?
I have said that too.
Did you make sure you got the M and the N right in
yes,
your surname?
Yeah, yes, I got that sorted.
Then yep. That's it.
We're up to date.
Well, I mean, I guess, but who is Roland? Why is Roland here?
I ask that myself all the time.
Yes, it's a worthwhile question.
I'm the owner of Hares and Hyenas.
Yes.
And a 68-year-old bottom.
Yes, we stand a 68-year-old bottom in here.
Hey.
So,
is that
enough?
That's it in a nutshell, and I love it.
And Hares and Hyenas is?
Yeah, Hares and Hyenas is Melbourne's queer bookshop at the Victorian Pride Centre.
And as we have said on a number of occasions, a community institution.
Institution, that's an interesting word. I've never been able to quite work out what that means.
Well, you know,
what is an institution?
It's a label that we force upon people when we want them to feel important.
Hey, that's why I use 68-year-old bottom. That makes me feel important.
Yes. You're assisting an area where there's high demand and short supply. Yes. that's probably all we can get away with saying on live radio. Yes.
Okay, we can move on now.
having adequately covered the topic.
That's right.
Thank you, Roland.
Or as a term you introduced me to, Madison, a caring potato.
Oh, yes, oh. Yes. Now, on the first single by Pauline Pansdown, that was actually subject to an injunction, you might recall, that was imposed by the courts after Pauline Hanson, with Mike Oldfield's assistance, took it to court. It
got stuck up the nose.
Yeah, so some people erroneously believe that it was I Don't Like It by Pauline Pansdown that had that injunction, but it wasn't. It was a previous song had been produced by Triple J for Pauline Pansdown, and they kept playing it. And one of the things that it said in there, and I was actually at the injunction hearing, because I was a
paralegal clerk for the Office of Director of Public Prosecutions at the time. And even though this had nothing to do with DPP, one of my friends that also worked there dragged me into court, said, "You've got to see this." And then I realised what I was sitting in the public area witnessing.
History in the making.
History in the making. And what they started doing was playing bits of the song, and it included the bit about caring potato. And that resulted in the person representing Pauline Hanson having to describe for the court what a caring potato was. And it was somebody who was on the receptive side of the act of sex involving the other side, so to speak. You know, when Margaret Thatcher said the lady's not for turning, she was talking about not being available for said act.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
I'll have to think about that one.
Yes.
The concepts you introduce on the airwaves.
Oh, well, that's, you know, we try to do it tactfully, as you can see, because little kiddies can be listening, and you've got to be sensitive to that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, we do our best tactfully and politely to introduce these ideas.
Terrific.
Mm. Well, not ideas, sort of introduce these little snippets of pop culture.
I think it's really good to have this kind of talk as well on the airways, because there's this huge divide between the generations of queer people, yes. I find, and a lot of us younger folk don't know the terminology that was used 30 years ago.
So when I spoke with Atlas about it, and this was just this afternoon, I said, you know, oh, yes, and of course that song uses the phrase the caring potato. Now, Atlas didn't know what caring potato was. It didn't actually occur to me.
Well, I didn't know either.
There you go.
No, it's like with the Q Lit launch, where Noah was talking about how before the Americans came, blowjobs were called French jobs.
French jobs.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
So, yeah, and maybe it's a Queensland queer thing from the 1990s. This is how, you know, parochial things can get within a queer community.
It sort of changes the definition of scalloped potatoes.
Yes, it certainly does. It does. I'll never be able to eat one again without thinking about it.
You just have to start calling them potato cakes like we do down here.
Potato cakes.
Potato cakes.
That's also a British thing. I remember my grandparents from Yorkshire saying they were potato cakes. Yeah.
Or do you have to say
it? You have to say it with the accent.
With the Yorkshire accent.
Yeah, the potato cakes.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, you were talking about potato cakes. I thought you were talking about the kind of potatoes where you cut them and serve them with, like, cream and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the great potato scallop divide.
Yes.
Pomme de terre gratin.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, gratin. Pomme de terre, but of course, being potato in French.
And potato cakes in the northern part of Australia are called scallop potatoes.
Yeah, they're
called scallops. Whereas our scallop potatoes are those delicious layers of potato with milk.
I recall as a child not realising that scallops were a seafood. Because to me, scallops were, battered and deep-fried potato slices because I was from New South Wales.
And this is just Australia. The variations are
hugely
huge. Quite exciting, really, if you're into that type of thing.
Yeah, so you know, not just in queer language as we started with, but just language generally.
Exactly.
And so now we move on to, with possibly the clunkiest segue ever, we now move on to, mind you, clunky segues are sort of like a thing here at Queering Air, with our regular segment. Now, what would that segment be called?
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow,
Now, I didn't hear you joining in.
No, I'm not a big scatter. Sorry about that.
No.
I'd be in the mood.
Depends on what kind of scat we're talking about.
I was just going to let that go through.
I couldn't let it go.
I could promise you, Roland, that was never going to just go through with my current co-presenter.
Yeah, never going to get past me. Sorry.
So, basically, we need to continue to play the intro until you join in.
Okay, I'll join in.
All right, here we go.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, there we go. Meow, 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 meow. Very well done, Roland.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very well done. Okay, so meow, 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 of course, is our segment where we discuss what is happening in the world that is Qua, in the community world specifically that is Qua. So what is happening that is Qua, apart from, expelling air from one's gullet, on what is happening in that environment, please, Atlas.
Okay, well, I have two for you today.
Yeah.
The first one that we've got is Beers for Queers is coming up again. That's going to be on July 19th at 5 p.m. at the Fox Hotel in, I believe, Collingwood or Abbotsford, one of those two suburbs.
Collingwood or Abbotsford?
Yes.
Why don't you know?
Well, because it's kind of on that cusp where it's in between them.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's sort of like where the two meld.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some people that know the exact division. Where one suburb starts and another ends.
Yes, but according to who? Probably just the person.
Well, if they know their things, then I know someone who you're driving along and they say, oh, we're just moving from such and such to such and such as we go over this road, and they're obsessed by it. I mean, we all have things that we're obsessed by that we know,
but what
too much knowledge of, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Not me, not ever.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm a terrible person for nerding out on
notorious.
Good old nerding out.
Yeah, where would we be without it? Yes. I'd have to say that must be an absolute pleasure to drive with.
I can tell you that thank God we separated.
Fair enough.
I feel that. It reminds me of my father when we would drive around as a kid and he would be like, oh, I worked there and your great-grandmother's best friend's sister lived there. And
I think I'm slightly more annoying than that. I actually find myself, for some strange reason, just reading signs. So we'll drive past the pie shop and I'll read the name of the pie shop. It's like, what?
Oh, Madison, I've got news for you. There is a reason for it and there's a name for it.
Yes, I know. There are clinical explanations for said
behavior. It starts with A and ends in tism.
Yes, it does. Yes. It does. Yet to be formally diagnosed, but I think you're right.
Yes.
What else? What else is on in the community that is known as Qua?
So this one's in a little bit in the future, so it's one to mark in your diaries.
Yes.
It's called Gorgeous Fabulous Queerageous. It is a Pinoy Pride event at Federation Square on September the 13th from 3 p.m. onwards.
Yeah, so it's like a festival thingy.
It is a festival. It is a Filipino-led festival.
Oh, so certainly something to put in your calendar in advance. So what date was that again?
That was on the 13th of September at 3 p.m. at Federation Square.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So Filipino, was it?
Yeah, so it's a general Pride event. It's not Filipino specific. It's not just for people from the Philippines.
No.
But it is led by Filipino people.
So it sounds like it will actually have their sort of flavour.
Absolutely. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, a bit of a party.
Yeah, we have to go, I think.
I think so.
I think we also might have to in advance ask for permission to speak to a few people, see if we can, sort of amplify what they're doing here on the show.
I think that would be a fantastic idea, particularly with Pinoy Pride. Yeah. I hadn't heard of them before finding out about this event.
Nor I. So,
Really curious to see what they put on.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I am a Facebook friend of theirs. I think they might have had something to do with the organisation of a Fafa Fine what would you call it, pageant event a couple of years back.
Oh, wow.
Which hasn't been repeated. So I've keep my eyes peeled for it because I want to attend again. But apparently there's been difficulty in the community in reorganising it.
Mm, yes. That's disappointing to hear because that would be a fabulous event to go to.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can just amplify generally more of what this group is doing.
Because, absolutely. Yeah. Pinoy Pride, get on it.
Absolutely. All right, anything else from you before I start?
No. Okay. Nothing from me.
Nothing else. Well, nothing else from you.
Nothing else from me.
Yeah, yeah. There was two wonderful events right there. Okay, so Seahorse Victoria, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And on the 26th of July at 7 p.m. through to 11:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, just thought I'd make sure that that was clear, at the year of our Lord, 2025, at Harlow Bow Bar in Richmond, which is 447 Church Street, Richmond. So they were founded in 1975, so we're talking about the OG of queer gatherings, really, of trans gatherings. Just pretty amazing stuff. Yes.
Hugely.
And there's basically, as a result, they are legitimately the longest continuously operating transgender support organisation in Australia. And, you know, hats off to Geir McGreery, who I don't know whether they were involved from the very beginning, but I believe they were. So hats off to a good friend of mine, Geir McGreery from Seahorse Victoria. We're celebrating their milestone of 50 years with a cocktail party at the Harlow Bar. Tickets are $50, which include finger food and a drink on arrival.
I do love some food and a drink, but is this, I have to ask, being a Seahorse, is it Seahorse? Yes.
Yeah.
Seahorse events. Seahorse Victoria, is it trans femme specific?
Well, it doesn't say. It does not say.
That's okay. I just thought I'd ask as a trans mask that would love to attend, but also don't want to encroach on spaces that have been set out for the trans femme community.
Well, it says absolutely nothing about being trans femme only.
Great. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yep. Okie dokes. Now, moving on. Art and Queerness in the 19th Century. So there's going to be a panel discussion held at Grouse, Melbourne, and held by the Australian Queer Archives and Homophomic. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So I'll read the blurb. Art and Queerness in the 19th Century Australia. Why is it so important to remember LGBTIQ plus historical figures? And how do we best honour their stories when representing and reinterpreting our history for artistic purposes? Well, there you go.
I think that's fabulous. I'm really interested in that concept of how we tell the stories, particularly with what's, I mean, a couple of weeks ago we spoke on Stonewall, and recently the sort of trans element of the Stonewall Memorial has been removed.
Yeah.
So I think keeping these stories alive and telling these stories is incredibly important.
And I read today that the bi bit's also been removed.
Really?
But don't quote me on that.
The bi bit, yeah, okay.
Don't quote me on that. But yes, it's just recently been...
So that's the thing, you know, I mean, they...
Slowly taking one letter at a time.
Yeah. It's a, you know, it's a bit like that, you know, that idea about what totalitarians do. First they come for the criminals, then they come for the communists, then they come for this and that and et cetera. And I think that this is the same, you know. First they wanted to drop the T, LGB without the T. Mm. Well, now it sounds like they want LG without the B. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it has to stop. We must resist this.
Yeah, we're a community, and I think I went to a conference that I wouldn't suggest as actually representing this concept, but Better Together. We are better as a community. Mm. We are better all together. Yeah. And I think that's shown in this room right now, having a trans femme person, a trans mask person, and a gay man is...
Walked into a studio.
Exactly.
Yeah, they walked in instead of a bar. Yeah, yeah, that's right. We'll work out what the punchline is by about 5 minutes to four.
Yep.
Or 4:05 is usually how my brain works.
After the show, yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, a good panel by the looks of it. Artistic director Miranda Hill, right? Moonlight's composer Wally Gunn, a poet Maria Zakowski, a historian from the Australian Queer Archives, Jacobin Bosman, and visual artist Martin John Lee.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds like an informed panel to me.
Yes.
Sure very does. Much so.
So, 6 to 7 p.m., Wednesday the 23rd of July, so not that long now. Stay for a drink and a chat at Grouse, Melbourne after the talk. Tickets are limited. Book now to reserve your seat, and that is through trybooking.com. But, you know, if you Google art and queerness in the 19th century Australia, you're bound to get to the right page.
Hope say that three times.
Yes. I only said it once. And once I shall only say it.
Mm.
And I could, if I could just remind people that the first Sunday of the month at the Pride Centre. We have Gay Stuff Markets.
Please.
Which is fantastic, about 20 stalls. And we now have Cafe Cart, Lesbian and Co.
Yes.
There's a coffee cart now.
Yeah. For Sundays, yes, for the Gay Stuff Market Sundays.
I'm a marketeer myself. I actually have a stall. Yes, so
And since either run by a lesbian-owned run business or a cooperative of some sort.
A lesbian-run business. But I just love the name Lesbian.
Lesbian.
For a coffee cart. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got a good business name, you have a good business.
I agree with that. It's
been my philosophy all the time. From the very beginning.
Well, and we will talk about the name of your business. Not now.
So, okay.
I could see the twinkle in your eye you're about to share. It's like, no, I must clamp down on that immediately.
<That's right. laughs> It's all segmented, so I have to wait for my segment.
That's right. I run the show, and don't you forget it.
I think that's
true. A coup. We might have a coup.
Oh, I was going to say there's enough of us here to pull it off.
I can assure you, Roland, it wouldn't be the first time.
in this building.
well, just on my show.
Yeah.
And, you know, half the time I've deserved it. So, Fag Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
I said Fag Dyte by mistake because it's actually, this particular event's called Fag Dyke Light. It has asterisks and light, L-I-T-E.
So what does that mean for the event, it's light?
I think it might be because it's booze-free.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so Fag Dyke... running an event. It's going to be at 144 Sydney Road, Coburg, for 4 hours. It's public. It's going to be a booze-free trans plus networking and social event.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll read out their blurb. Because I do it that this way these days, because I think, you know, using their voice and how they describe themselves is best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I used to make fun of the fact I was doing it, but I'm actually going to back myself. I think I'm doing the right thing by reading their blurb.
Yes, I agree.
So, meet new friends, bring along card and board games, creative activities, and snacks to share. There'll be spaces provided for faster games, longer board games, and... Oh, TCG matches. Do you know what that is? My young co-presenter. TCG matches.
I don't know. If you had have said MTG, I would have said Magic the Gathering. But
Right.
I don't know acronym, though.
Well, for anyone who knows what a TCG match is, be assured it's included. coffee and tea available at the venue. There's no entry fee. There is no entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to buy, but a small donation to the venue as thanks would be appreciated. So that's cool. Saturday the 19th of July. So that's next week. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. free entry at Catalyst Social Centre.
Oh, beautiful.
144 Sydney Road, Coburg. Yeah, no, I didn't recognise the address, but Catalyst Social Centre, I know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They host quite a lot of community stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, 3CR and myself as trans creator zine went to a zine fair that they held out the back of their venue.
Oh, lovely.
Nice little place, yeah. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, I think I have others. No, that's it.
That's it.
That is the end of...
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow,
thank you, Roland.
I hope I contributed enough.
You sure did. Thank you.
In fact, I think you might be number one contributor amongst our guests so far.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, the first time around was, you know, you're silent and just giggling at us. But, you know, number two.
I giggle a lot.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's part of being a caring potato.
This is Get Ugly by Worm Girls. No, it isn't. This is. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. Yes, they wanna. So that was Worm Girls with Get Ugly. So, basically, that's a single that they were very enthused to release for Pride Month, and they released that on the 26th of June. So, you know, we played it pretty soon afterwards.
That's the beginning in queer hours, in a queer schedule.
Yeah, right? That's right.
You know. Right at the end, it last 3 days of the... Of the Pride Month,
exactly. Mm. You know, I mean, it would have been completely unqueer of me if I'd actually played it on time.
That's right.
Yes. Queers are never on time.
Well, you know, if we are, it's by mistake,
or that we're like so early that it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, in you know, we joke amongst ourselves in the community about this, don't we? But I actually think we're pretty orderly.
You know. I mean, compared to some other communities, straights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think one of the reasons why we joke about this amongst the queer communities is because we all notice when things are late.
Yes.
Right? You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those types of humours where the opposite is true, and that's why it's funny.
Yes.
So, anyway, let's see. So Get Ugly is an infectious queer anthem that brushes off toxic beauty standards and celebrates being utterly authentic. So there you go. That's their spin on it. I'd give that a 9 out of 10 for an explanation. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree.
Oh, well, I wasn't listening, so I can't comment.
You weren't listening?
Bit of a zone out?
No, I'm fascinated by the studio. I'm overwhelmed by the studio, the communication where you're going all around the world and from this little spot.
You know, the around the world bit isn't far off. Yeah, we do have.
What do you mean around the world bit isn't far off?
Well, you know, some radio show. I mean, I very much doubt that Triple M sports programs go around the world. We do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I mean, Roland.
Thank you.
That's what
thank
I
you.
Meant.
When you're communicating, you have to be very specific and so that people understand. Not that I want to lecture you or anything.
God, these bloody queens.
No, please lecture Madison. Do it.
These uppity visitors.
So, Roland.
Yes, ask the first question. Go on. Go on. Tell me.
What do you think you're doing here? No. We won't start that like that.
No.
Look, you know, so Hares and Hyenas. I mean, my first encounter with Hares and Hyenas was somebody who had only just realised that they weren't cisgendered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knew that they had known for a long time, but certainly had sort of suppressed that they were not heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And this was around 2017. And
I usually take it from which shop do you go to, so that it doesn't, you don't have to specify a date. It's an era. So
yes.
2017, you would have been Johnson Street.
Yeah, Johnson Street. That's right.
Yeah. So, and because it's, I mean, after 30 years, it's when people talk about their first experience.
Yeah.
It can be in there with now five shops.
And yeah.
So it's quite interesting to visualize which shop it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So yeah, that's where it was, and it was actually kind of at the, I think you might have by that stage been calling it the hair hole area, which was a bit of a like a stage area with tables where that's community could gather.
Yep. Yeah, well, the evenings were the hair hole, and then the day was Hares and Hyenas, the bookshop. So that was sort of the way we presented it. And so if we were promoting an evening event, then it'd be at the hair hole.
Yeah, okay. Ah, so that makes sense. Yeah, so I'd always just assumed the hair hole was a bit at the back, but no.
Well, I mean, in a way, that's where the stage was, so you were...
Yeah.
You were slightly right.
I was slightly right, except maybe... Right.
I'll give you 3 out of 10 for that.
Yeah, I was about 3 or 4 hours too early.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so there was actually, you might even remember, how Alex Nichols used to run the queer culture conversations.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
We had quite a few sort of book clubs and discussion groups at that stage. It was a fantastic time.
Yeah. So for me, this is where I experienced my first, authentic experiences of togetherness, and not just because I was in a queer area. That had happened to me when I hadn't come out as queer.
Mm-hmm.
I can proudly say I saw the Scary Fairies and the Kylie Show by Miss 3D at the Aubrey Hotel in the 1980s. Don't you know? So there you go. You know, but so that's
your queer credentials.
Yeah,
before you.
And I thought I was straight at the time. You know, so yeah,
it just
hilarious.
Happened to turn
up. Just happened to be there, you know, for some strange reason. Yeah, funny that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, those years of being a really good ally, they're some good years.
So strong an ally that, you know.
Such a good ally, Madison.
That one had to scratch their heads, I think.
Yep.
I even occasionally managed to get into Don't Cry Mama, also known as DCMs, if you remember that, on Oxford Street.
I know the name, but.
Opposite Albury Hotel, yeah. And of course, that is something that you'd only do if you're just a very strong ally. Yeah, you wouldn't be at all queer, would you, if you went to DCMs, you know, on a Friday night? Never.
For a cup of tea.
Yeah, just for a cup of tea.
And a bicky.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for God's sake. Yeah, what was I thinking? Anyway, so it wasn't just the fact that, you know, that it was a queer area. It was also that it was... It was actually a gathering of queer, like community intellectuals who read and who discuss. And yeah, so yeah. This was a very, I think, rather precious and special gathering.
I look, especially now looking back on that period, it so many people from that, you see so many people from that have moved on into other activist areas and other discussion areas of stuff. So it has been a feeder both in the entertainment area, but also in intellectual or whatever crappy name you want to call it.
Yeah. I tend to call it culture.
Culture, that's the one.
Because, you know...
Like good yogurt.
Yeah, that's right. And also it allows me to utilise my Australian accent. I don't go culture, I go culture.
Culture.
Culture. Yeah,
the queer culture. So how did hares and hyenas originate? I plead ignorance as to even when it started.
Well, we started at the end of 1991.
Right.
My partner at the time, Crusader, and I were both in the book trade. We both were working for Hartwig's, which was one of the bookshops that had a queer section.
Yep.
So there was Hartwig's and there was the International Bookshop, were the main bookshops to go for queer material. And then towards the... we decided that there was a need for a specific queer bookshop in Melbourne.
Yes.
Crusader had been working as a book rep for Bulldog Books, which was the main distributor of small queer presses in Australia.
Yeah.
And so, so we started looking around and found the place in Commercial Road towards the end. In fact, we signed the lease on the 1st of December 1991 and we were open on the 23rd of December 1991.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yes. So Commercial Road, that's a different location to what I know.
Yes.
So Johnson Street, was it?
Johnson. So Commercial Road was 1991 for 15 years to 2006.
Yep.
But at the same time, for a little while, we had a shop in Brunswick Street, right next door to the Angel, between the Angel Cafe, which was a lesbian cafe, and Babka, which is still there.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we were there for a year and a half. We were subletting and... the person we were subletting from was a little bit kooky in that Brunswick Street hippie way. Mm-hmm. And we just couldn't cope any longer. And we found a place in Smith Street.
Smith Street?
Yes.
Not Johnson Street.
Well, Smith Street was up until 2000.
Oh, okay.
So we were there for 2 years and it started off fantastic.
Yeah.
And then... there was a lot of issues around drugs, but people were quite relaxed because, you know, people just deal with those sort of things.
Yeah, sure.
But then the Herald Sun got onto it and all of a sudden, you know, the druggies of Smith Street were front page news of the Herald Sun.
Yeah.
And so our customer base just didn't come on weekends because... it happens now, you know, whether it's race, whether it's sexuality, whether it's gender, if the tabloids can exploit it for their own benefit, what ends up happening is it destroys the community around there that it focuses on, and that's what happened
for
us.
For the Smith Street location.
Yeah, for the Smith Street. So we decided, it was also the start of the GST, so we were a bit freaked out by that, so we thought, well, we'll just go back to the one shop. Yeah. So then we went back And as I said, Commercial Road was to 2006, and yep. then we moved over to Fitzroy. And we're there for 15 years.
Yeah, and Fitzroy, get me, was it Johnston Street?
Yeah, Johnston
Street.
It was, Street. Yeah.
Because I can never remember the name of that damn street.
It's Johnston Street, unless it's the other side of Nicholson when it's Elgin. Good old Melbourne tradition of, you know, streets changing their names.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of some, like in America, where it's the same name, as the street has the same name for miles and miles and everything. We change all the time down here.
Yeah, and while I know most people would associate gay stuff markets as an event that is held at the Victorian Pride Centre.
Not at all, not in my mind.
I remember it predominantly as being one where the venue was Hares and Hyenas.
Yeah, Stephen started that in, oh my goodness, sometime, yeah. halfway through our lease, somewhere around about 10 years ago, he just asked us if would we be interested in having a market in the space, and we said sure, give it a go, and it was great. So that's continued on for 10 years or so now.
Going strong.
Still going. It goes up and down, like everything around mm-hmm. retail. And yeah. Gathering of storeholders. It's a very friendly group of storeholders. They mm-hmm. sort of all interact, you would say, with each other. And
oh, we've got group chats.
Yep.
We've got group chats going on. We've got friendships going on. It's really a close-knit community at Gay Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many different sort of products that are available there. It's very varied. And if you haven't been, I would recommend you going. But yes, that started at the Johnston Street store.
Yeah. That was my introduction to queer life, through Gay Stuff at Hares and Hyenas.
So did you start a stall quite early on?
No, I've actually only had a stall for the last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my interactions when I first was coming to terms with my gender identity and sexuality, like mm-hmm. exploring that market, exploring Hares and Hyenas was a huge part of, exploring that and coming to terms with that.
Well, one thing that I've always been proud of is that we were a venue at night, but we didn't focus on alcohol. There was alcohol there, but it wasn't pushed onto you. It wasn't the main thing. It was the socialising and whatever the event was, whether it was an event around ideas or a cabaret or something.
Well, so, often the front counter also acted as a barista centre.
Well, barista and stage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and stage.
Amazing.
People standing up on the counter. How funny.
Look, Moira Finnegan would take any space she could find and turn it into a stage, I can tell you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. And I remember at one point, just when Almond Milk was still first being introduced, you were making me a coffee, and I said, I'll have it with Almond Milk. And you could see it was a little blobby, and so you were going to throw it out. And I went, no, Roland, you've got to shake it. You always shake Almond Milk. And then you shook it, and it was all okay. But
there we go. We learned. It was a learning process.
It was.
For everyone at our side.
I just thought, this is just wonderful. I just love community. You know, it's these little stories that you can remember,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So, look, I reckon, you know, Gay Stuff Markets would have to be one of the key contributions to community from Hares and Hyenas. Are there any others in particular that you're proud of?
Well, not taking credit for them, but
yeah,
there's quite a few performers that were started off or when they were early in their career, performed with us.
Yeah.
And also people that from Ballarat Performing Arts, they used to do their second year cabaret assessment there. So we're over about 3 or 4 years, we saw all the cabaret performers from Ballarat Performing Arts go through and quite a few of them sort of now pop up at fringe performances and stuff like that. Moira first performed with us in about 1994 at the at the Commercial Road store, in just as one of the cabaret performers in a little cabaret we had then. She then did a full night of cabaret at our Brunswick Street store, around a gothic night around there. So we've seen her develop over the years, which I love.
Yeah.
There's been quite a few that have been through that.
Yeah.
And then readings, Crusader was very good at being able to encourage people that hadn't written to, when someone would say, oh, I would really like to write something, he'd be on their case and say, well, you're going to read it, so get right in, you're going to read it in 6 months' time.
Oh,
and we'll
wow.
keep forcing them. And there were so many first-time writers reading with us over the time. And that was the way Crusader was able to nurture people.
So you're like the Melbourne queer writers version of Andy Warhol, because there was a story there.
I'm getting my hair slowly the right colour.
It is. Now all you got to do is have it slightly bushier. Yeah. There was a story of Lou Reed who was rather lazy, and apparently Warhol kept going, oh, you're so lazy, you should write more. And it developed the work ethic. Mm-hmm. So I just love that, you know, I fully take on board. You most certainly would be just the type that would just keep prodding people.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. There's so many, readings that I just remember so fondly. There was something like Melbourne 3000, which we did in, I can't remember the dates, but there was Christos, Dennis Altman. There was about five people just talking about their Melbourne, and it just had a special, you get a combination of people when it really works, they just work off each other so well. And that was one of those nights. We did, in 2002, we did 10 days at the Trades Hall, and that was fantastic as well. We sold out the main ballroom twice with different readings. And there's quite a few events that I've been very proud of over the time.
And this has continued, hasn't it? Because even though you don't have the same venue at the moment with the stage at the back, my understanding is that you have, particularly in recent times, worked with the Victorian Pride Centre to sort of collaborate on, events of this kind. Is that right?
Yeah, the relationship with the Pride Centre has been one of chopping and change. I think it's having a new building, it takes years to work out how the energy flows and how things work. And it's been 3 years now, and they are looking at changes to the spaces and stuff. Yeah. And initially, because a lot of people have opinions about the Pride Centre and us in the Pride Centre.
Mm-hmm. And people in the Pride community having opinions?
No, unheard of.
Shock horror.
Yeah. But you heard it first here, people, at 3CR's Crewing the Air.
So when I signed the lease, which was late 2020, the idea was the Pride Centre was going to be a community hub.
Yes.
That sort of, for the first year, it was developing that way, but there was a lot of cash flow problems that they had, and so they decided to stop focusing on that because they had to sort of work out their budgets and stuff. So
it all sounds very neoliberal to me.
I mean, it's that whole our state government is very much a has an edifice complex. It loves buildings, but whether it can finance them is another thing.
Edifice complex. Yes. I love that phrase.
I've used it a few times.
Oh my God.
My apologies if you've heard me say it before.
No, I haven't, and I think it is really fitting.
It is very fitting.
Yes.
So the Pride Centre has been in some ways imposed on the community.
Yes, and many in the community feel that way.
Right. Many people feel that.
Including the location.
Yeah.
And big time.
But there's two issues. There's the issue of the history of it and how it came about to be there.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and a lot of there's been a lot of decisions in that time that are questionable. But at the same time, we do have this community, well, this building,
yes,
with community groups in it,
yes,
and it's up to the community to turn it into a community
center. No, I agree with that too.
So it's not like, I mean, when we did a call out in February because we were having trouble, you know, people saying, oh, you should move the community center should be, you know, around here in Collingwood and stuff. No. And it's like, it's not a caravan, so, you know, you can't move it.
Yeah.
But it's a matter, we have this fantastic resource that's not being used enough.
I agree.
And it's up to the community to force the Pride Center itself to turn it into something.
Yeah. In my view, if those who are running the place you know, are sort of, as I said, and I'm not joking when I say it, even though I chuckle as I say it, neoliberalist in the mm-hmm. way that they're running the joint, mm-hmm. that, and, you know, and that's to a certain extent as a result, the community element is suffering a bit. Mm. I also think that that's actually reflective of how many so-called community groups operate.
Yes.
You know, the Victorian Pride Centre and the way it operates in part becomes symptomatic of the community sector and what's become of it.
Yes. Yep.
Hugely in LGBT spaces, hugely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues around. I'm sort of talking straight off my head and not as a representative of the Pride Centre, but someone in the Pride Centre who knows a lot of the history, because I've been dealing with the Pride Centre itself from before the building was open.
Yeah.
The structure of it being a corporation, you know, not-for-profit corporation, who then decides the board, who then decide or make all the decisions. There is no grassroots contribution anywhere in the structure, which is the first problem.
Yep.
The flip side to that, if I may, is the likelihood that something like this would have been funded unless they guaranteed such a structure in the first place was unlikely.
Yes.
So it's, you know what I mean? It's like you end up having to have this structure in order to get the building.
Well, you get, yes, but at the same time, there has to be a place for community.
Absolutely.
If you know, it's the whole thing, you know, representation, no taxation without representation, and all that. Mm. Let's have 1776 again.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that to negate what you're saying. Mm. It's the root cause of a big problem.
So I mean, we have to see also mention that the new CEO, Paul, only started last December.
Yes.
And so he's had 6 months now to look at things. And I think I sway from optimism to, oh, nothing's going to change. But I have a feeling that there's going to be a few changes coming up over time.
Positive.
So, yeah, positive change. Well, let's hope for positive changes.
Yeah. Oh, just seeking clarity from you.
Yeah, positive changes is what I'm looking for. We've been discussing with them because the first year, the visitor numbers were quite high, and so we were very. I was very pleased with where my position was,
and that was pre-COVID, right?
No. So the Pride Centre officially opened July. 2021.
It was still under construction during COVID. Yes, you're right.
So it opened. There was about 2 weeks when there wasn't lockdowns.
Yes.
And the Pride Centre opened then. Then it went back into lockdown to the end of November.
Yeah.
And so the official open was from December 2021.
Yes. And you're saying the first year following that was pretty positive.
Well, it was. I mean, a lot of it was people curious to check the place out.
Yeah,
so there was a lot of people just came and had a look around. The shop's turnover was like, oh, well, this is a good start. We can build on this really well.
Okay.
The position of it, which a lot of people don't like, where the position of the shop being under the stairs and not being able to see it from the street.
Yeah.
That was negated because, for me, the issue is visitor numbers, not the position of the shop.
Yes, I see.
After the first year, the honeymoon period sort of faded, and that's when the issues started to come up.
But
both with the Pride Centre saving money by having less public events there, mm-hmm. and also just the visitor numbers dropped off. So I think in that second year, visitor numbers were less than 70,000. The press release in 2020 was saying that they were going to get 500,000 people every year.
Right.
And so you can see the difference between, I mean, we knew that that press release was a little bit over the top, but you know, 70,000 is just such a small number.
Yeah, and there has actually been talk, Roland, mm-hmm. and even action, community action, in response to the idea that to a certain extent, this institution of yours has struggled in recent times. Is that fair?
Well, yes. The first year, as I said, the first year was fantastic, and yes. I was very optimistic about how things were developing. And then I brought it to the attention of the Pride Centre towards the second half of 2020.
Yep.
Oh, as you age and the years just merge into one.
I know what you mean.
But and I was saying, look, the visitor numbers are just too low.
Yeah.
Something has to be done, because it was just turning into a gay office block as far as I could see. And that's not what it is supposed to be.
Which is ironic, because the changes that led to that were meant to be changes that would resolve the actual disappointing visitor numbers.
Yes.
Mm. It actually worsened things.
Yeah, it did. It did. So, and as I said, I renegotiated my lease. So my lease now is based on turnover, which is based on visitor numbers. So,
oh,
so,
cool.
That's
so,
awesome.
So for me, that change has improved my financial position there.
Yeah. I would suggest just from a risk management perspective, yes. not necessarily whether or not the whole thing's viable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also the call out in February when I said, because I did get behind in payments because the you know, cash flow and everything, all those things that we have to deal with in small business, I was getting behind in things. But the response from the community was amazing. For February, it was like Christmas. It just built up and up and up. And I'm so appreciative of responses like that we've had. There's been a number of times in our history where there's been a community response, like when the police raided the residents upstairs.
Yes.
That was fantastic. When we had to soundproof one of the walls because the neighbours took us to VCAT, we got a great response from the community then. So, But for the generosity of the community, I wouldn't have lasted.
And very briefly, what would you say would be next steps in terms of any community support that we could give Roland to make sure that, you know, as I say, this important queer community institution, and I emphasise institution, lasts?
Well, my plea is buy books.
Yes.
Very simple. When you think of, say, a certain big company that has warehouses all over the world, mm-hmm. but won't allow their staff to have a piss break, that won't pay what we would consider award rates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That take over Venice. Don't buy from them.
Yeah, so instead,
buy from small businesses who,
well, then, specifically yourself.
Well, myself for things for queer books, for yes. queer stuff, mm-hmm. but also it's a broader thing, I think, as yes. well. Mm-hmm. Just don't buy from
these large distributors.
These large distributors with names that are based around jungles in South Africa.
And that, you know, have questionable logos.
Yes.
And also, I think, you know, that very important point, which I think should warm the cockles of the hearts of your typical 3CR listener, being paid, heaven forbid, at least award rates.
Award rates.
Mm. Being allowed the appropriate breaks.
Yep.
You know, if you're buying from Hares and Hyenas, you're buying from a queer bookstore with significant heritage within the queer community here in Melbourne, has done an awful lot in return for the community, as I think we've well established today, and also treats its workers with some degree of respect.
Suspect, did you say?
of respect. I also say some degree because they've still got to put up with you, Roland.
Well, you shouldn't be interviewing me about how I treat my staff. You should be interviewing them.
Oh, that's next.
That's true. Now,
oh, God.
Next week, we'll get your staff on and see how it's what it's really like.
Well, I'm going to get the superannuation up to date.
Yeah. Roland and Hares and Hyenas, the true story.
What goes on behind the curtain?
Yeah, that's right. The Roland workers' exploitation curtain.
Can I ask one question before we wrap this up?
Very briefly. Yep.
Yes, it's a very brief question. What's the number one book you'd recommend to grab from Hares and Hyenas right now?
Yeah, great question.
Look, Language of Limbs, I think, is a fantastic book. It would be our biggest seller. It was in the top five last year, and it only came out in October, and it just keeps on selling. It's should I give you a synopsis? Would you like a synopsis?
Don't have time.
But Language of Limbs, and a second one, Salt Blood, written by a Melbourne woman, looking at female pirates.
Female pirates.
Female
pirates. 1700s.
Cool. This has been Queering the Air, ruled with an iron fist in terms of timing by Madison Moffat, broadcast on the 3CR Radical Radio on 855 on your radio AM dial and digitally streamed on 3cr.org.au/streaming.
And Mahaba to George, if I may.
Mahaba to George.
Yep.
Next up is the Salaam Radio and show. And before that, we'll hear a little bit of No Clause 28, the full version by Boy George. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.